No, not that. It's drifting and when the levee breaks.
Ah, okay. Drifting is one of those examples of me just doing kind of a standard blues thing.
Right.
And, it's Peter Green sort of era, Fleetwood Mac. There's a really neat box set. I think it's called something like Fleetwood Mac Blue Horizon Sessions, where they went to Chicago and they were really just trying out all different kinds of blues progressions and feet, you know, rhythms and vibes and everything. And, that was a song off of there that I thought was great, you know, and Peter Green has always been a big influence on me, especially in the, you know, the blues rock thing.
Mm-hmm.
He was definitely bluesy, but he was like Bloomfield in a way. He had an edge to him that you didn't get from, say, someone like, you know, Eric Clapton or something.
Right.
Drifting is sort of my homage to that kind of thing. And what'd you say the other one? Oh, the levee break, sure. That one was kind of a guilty pleasure. In fact, it didn't come out on the first release of the CD. Shortly after I put that out, I was approached by a German record label who wanted to release that CD, but with the addition of When the Levee Breaks on there, because they thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
and we just did our version of it, and you know, I went back to the Mississippi Mini original version and changed some of the lyrics around a little bit, but really it's us doing Zeppelin's version of the song.
Exactly, and it's funny I bring this up to you. The reason why they like that song is because normally when I start my DJ shows, I like to set the tone immediately, The first song I play is the Lemon Song by Led Zeppelin. And then I follow up with The Levee Breaks With Yours. And then everybody starts getting wild up. So I try to keep the tempo going fast and smooth. And then sometimes when I slow down, I put in the drifting on your song there. And everybody starts liking that stuff. So that's what I try to do. I try to set the tempo and I try to mix the same songs, the same vibes going on. And like I said, the Lemon Song is the first one that sets it off. And then yours comes next.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Okay, here's another question for you. Can you provide some insights to your upcoming recording session with Grammy Award winner producer Tom Hambridge? What type of sound are you targeting for this next CD?
Okay, well, I do not target any sound ever. It's impossible for me to do so. My songs are just what they are, and they come out the way they come out. On this particular album, what I think was cool about working with Tom was going to Nashville and doing some songwriting work with him. And with Tom, that was mostly lyrics. So I had, you know, maybe 70% of the lyrics finished for the album. And we sat down and hammered through some of the songs that were unfinished. Kind of got a start on a couple. I actually went with Tom over to one of his buddies' houses and we worked on some stuff there. His name is Richard Fleming. So Richard helped. Actually, Richard and Tom got together and wrote the lyrics for more of a slow blues tune on the next record, and I wrote very little of the lyrics, if any, on that, which is odd, because I usually do everything myself, figure out what the words were for this particular song called Tears and Rain, and, you know, the way I write lyrics, you know, it's not the same for every song, but sometimes I'll throw up a microphone, and I'll just start, you know, just, they're not really words, and it's kind of like speaking in tongues or something, you know, I love you, my world, yeah, you know, that kind of stuff. And then go back later and go, that kind of sounds like I said, the hills are burning, you know, so okay, let's write that down and run with that. So we worked on that a little bit, and I think that was the coolest part, was preparing to go into the studio. We were in Nashville, and it wasn't me recording at home or me, you know, renting a studio from a buddy for a real cheap rate. This was, okay, you know, let's go. Let's get her done. So we came in very, very prepared. And Tom played drums on a couple of tracks. Every album I've done has a Freddie King cover on it, or, you know, a cover of a song mm-hmm. Freddie King made famous. Palace of the King was on Deep, Deep Blue. And on the new album, we're doing Pack It Up. And Tom played drums on that. And then Tom's got some great contacts for people to play on the album. So on that Freddie King song, Pack It Up, he got the Muscle Shoals horn section to come in and put some horns down. I have kind of a folky kind of blues, gospel-y blues tune called Barrio, and he got these two sisters to come in and sing backgrounds on that, and it still gives me goosebumps listening to it. It's fantastic. Yeah. But, you know, this next album, there's a lot of different stuff on there. I mean, I do a version of Hard Time Killing Floor Blues by Elmore James. Mm-hmm. And then at the other end of the spectrum, you know, I have a song on there called Tears and Rain, which is, I don't even know what it is. I'm not sure it's blues at all or rock at all. I don't know what it is, but it's got a flavor to it, you know? I think, you know, these songs are very well developed, all of them. So I'm excited about this coming out. We're shooting for May on the release date, finished all the mixes and everything, and I'm working on some artwork for the CD jacket now, and I'm really, really excited for it to come out.
I'm looking forward to it, too. It sounds very, very enthusiastic and exciting about the new music you're going to have for us. All right, yeah. The next question I have to you. If given an opportunity for a one-time shot, what would you do freely to give back to the blues community, specifically the fans?
One-time shot. Well, you know, to give back to the fans. You know, this reminds me of running into this guy, Dave Beardsley, St. Louis. I ran into him at the IPC. And I have a lot of friends in St. Louis. You know, a few of them had to do something to do with developing the downtown real estate, especially by the Cardinals Stadium. And mm-hmm. Tom is, Dave Beardsley is starting this National Blues Museum down there. And, they've raised most of the money for it. I'm trying to help by, you know, trying to get my developer buddies to, you know, help out with that in any way, shape, or form. I mean, if it's my one shot, I would like to try to preserve some of the history here. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was in Memphis at the IBC, I went to Sun Studios and I went to the Stax Studios/Museum. And I thought mm-hmm. that was fantastic. I think we need to hang on to, you know, this rich culture, even if it's in a museum, you know, it's perhaps a little bit cheesy or something to go see Isaac Hayes, you know, gold Cadillac or his, you know, some of his outfits or something. But, you know, there was a couple of, BB King's guitars, a couple of Lucille's mm-hmm. in there. There was, Albert King's Flying V was in there. The wah pedal they used on Shaft was in there. And I'm excited about the National Blues Museum because it's really going to have everything from, you know, Charlie Patton all the way through to, like, you know, the Rolling Stones and beyond. I mean, it's really going to be comprehensive. You know, I can't write him a check for $8 million to get the, you know, ball in the air, but I want to help in any way, shape, or form I can to preserve it and, you know, I think the National Blues Museum is a great idea. I'm throwing my support behind it and telling everybody I know.